You'll hear an interview with a boy called Luke Tyler who took part in a desert marathon race. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
My name's Luke Tyler, and I'm going to talk about a tough sporting event I took part in, the Marathon of the Sands, an annual six-day race across the desert. The distance covered is more or less 250 kilometres, but the routes differ from one year to the next and aren't announced until the day before. However, the rules competitors follow have remained unchanged since the race started back in 1986. Almost everything I needed had to fit into a backpack, and I had to think carefully about the weight I was carrying. Most things I decided to take were fairly light anyway, such as my compass to keep me going the right way. I checked the sleeping bag I'd chosen was as light as possible, though. My small cooker to heat up food was obviously heavier, but to me, that was essential. You obviously need to be fit to take on a huge challenge like this, so I spent the months before setting off doing intensive training. This preparation was vital. But at the end of the day, attitude counted for more, just knowing I could do it. I got advice from friends, though it wasn't as useful as I'd hoped, because they'd never attempted running anything as hard as a desert marathon. Before taking on this challenge, I was aware that there were dangers in the desert. We were warned about scorpions, for example, but I wasn't too bothered about those. The sandstorms concerned me more, because they can appear out of nowhere. The heat I was prepared for, which was a good thing, because sometimes the temperature reached 40 degrees. The race organisers were very concerned for our welfare. They insisted that each runner consumed 4,000 calories a day, although how you did that was up to you. I tended to get my nutrition from dried meat. They'd suggested dried fruit too, though I didn't take as much of that as I should have done. I couldn't resist snacking on biscuits, which I don't suppose was officially recommended. The length of the race means it's exhausting. I was always looking forward to the breaks. These opportunities come along every few kilometres at what they call checkpoints, and they're welcome sights for weary runners. They're basically just stop-off places where shade and water are provided, and information about the next stage. Thinking of comfort during the race, I wore trainers that were slightly big for me and got some serious blisters. There was a medical team who were brilliant at treating sore feet, but luckily I'd taken plenty of plasters with me, so didn't need their help. There was also a danger of damage to your eyes from the bright light, so I'd gone for sunglasses that cut out the glare. They certainly made life more bearable. The desert was beautiful. There were some stunning mountains in the background, and we ran through some interesting villages too. At night, the sky was so dark that the stars were just amazing, and the sunsets seemed more beautiful than any I'd seen back home. They're what'll stick in my memory. After a couple of days, I looked in my bag and realised there were some items that weren't strictly necessary. I was told it'd be cold at night, so I'd taken extra clothes with me. But the tent I slept in was cosy, so I got rid of them. I considered dumping some of the fuel I used for cooking, but in the end kept it. And I managed to lose my sun cream, so I just borrowed some from another runner. I was never on my own. Volunteers along the way helped make sure things went smoothly. Several camels not far behind us were transporting heavy camping equipment, and I sometimes looked up to see a couple of helicopters following us to check on our well-being. That was reassuring. And there were also several trucks full of reporters and camera equipment. It was an unforgettable experience, and one I would thoroughly...
Now you'll hear part two again.
My name's Luke Tyler, and I'm going to talk about a tough sporting event I took part in, the Marathon of the Sands, an annual six-day race across the desert. The distance covered is more or less 250 kilometres, but the routes differ from one year to the next and aren't announced until the day before. However, the rules competitors follow have remained unchanged since the race started back in 1986. Almost everything I needed had to fit into a backpack, and I had to think carefully about the weight I was carrying. Most things I decided to take were fairly light anyway, such as my compass to keep me going the right way. I checked the sleeping bag I'd chosen was as light as possible, though. My small cooker to heat up food was obviously heavier, but to me, that was essential. You obviously need to be fit to take on a huge challenge like this, so I spent the months before setting off doing intensive training. This preparation was vital, but at the end of the day, attitude counted for more, just knowing I could do it. I got advice from friends, though it wasn't as useful as I'd hoped, because they'd never attempted running anything as hard as a desert marathon. Before taking on this challenge, I was aware that there were dangers in the desert. We were warned about scorpions, for example, but I wasn't too bothered about those. The sandstorms concerned me more, because they can appear out of nowhere. The heat I was prepared for, which was a good thing, because sometimes the temperature reached 40 degrees. The race organisers were very concerned for our welfare. They insisted that each runner consumed 4,000 calories a day, although how you did that was up to you. I tended to get my nutrition from dried meat. They'd suggested dried fruit too, though I didn't take as much of that as I should have done. I couldn't resist snacking on biscuits, which I don't suppose was officially recommended. The length of the race means it's exhausting. I was always looking forward to the breaks. These opportunities come along every few kilometres at what they call checkpoints, and they're welcome sites for weary runners. They're basically just stop-off places where shade and water are provided, and information about the next stage. Thinking of comfort during the race, I wore trainers that were slightly big for me and got some serious blisters. There was a medical team who were brilliant at treating sore feet, but luckily I'd taken plenty of plasters with me, so didn't need their help. There was also a danger of damage to your eyes from the bright light, so I'd gone for sunglasses that cut out the glare. They certainly made life more bearable. The desert was beautiful. There were some stunning mountains in the background, and we ran through some interesting villages too. At night, the sky was so dark that the stars were just amazing, and the sunsets seemed more beautiful than any I'd seen back home. They're what'll stick in my memory. After a couple of days, I looked in my bag and realised there were some items that weren't strictly necessary. I was told it'd be cold at night, so I'd taken extra clothes with me. But the tent I slept in was cosy, so I got rid of them. I considered dumping some of the fuel I used for cooking, but in the end kept it. And I managed to lose my sun cream, so I just borrowed some from another runner. I was never on my own. Volunteers along the way helped make sure things went smoothly. Several camels not far behind us were transporting heavy camping equipment, and I sometimes looked up to see a couple of helicopters following us to check on our well-being. That was reassuring. And there were also several trucks full of reporters and camera equipment. It was an unforgettable experience, and one I would thoroughly...
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.